He lifted a corner of the cloth and looked out. Deep space, the heart of night, a single small light left burning through fog above the door of the industrial therapy department. The time? He sifted it from the air, from the many small clues it gave. Presences, absences. He had owned, when he first arrived, a watch with a brown leather strap, one of his better things. He had managed to keep hold of it for 2 weeks before it was stolen. He knew who had taken it. A man who choked to death in the refectory 6 months later, inhaling a mouthful of mashed potato. The watch must have been given to the dead man's family, along with a dozen other effects from his locker. It might have puzzled them, the nice watch they didn't know he'd had. He let the curtain drop. He wondered what had woken him. There was no shouting, no sound of running feet, no alarm. The place was hushed. The room he was in, a common room, a big room with a high ceiling, was deserted. But somewhere something had changed. Something had fallen or risen. He swung himself to sit on the board, legs dangling. He patted his hair, he still had some, and looked down the length of the room. The stiff little tables with their stiff little chairs, the foil ashtrays. On one wall, screwed to the wall and out of reach, was a painting of hot air balloons. On the opposite wall, also screwed on, also out of reach, was a photograph of the young queen in her coronation robes. Other than for his shoes, he was fully dressed. A brown, pinstriped suit with a cardigan under the jacket, the cardigan a present from his daughter, the younger one, last Christmas or the Christmas before. Red wool and warm, slightly too big, or becoming so. The older girl had stopped coming years ago. He must have worried about that once. Not anymore. Awake now, clear-headed in one of those lulls when the things they gave him had lost their force, he stood, steadied himself, and set off. In his socks, he could move almost soundlessly. From the common room, he entered the corridor. It was a wooden floor in the common room, but in the corridor there were lino tiles, geometries in bright colours. You had to be careful not to get lost on it, not to try stepping only from green square to green square, or find yourself marooned on a red triangle. The tiles were new and part of a scheme to brighten things up. The administrator had visited them. He had addressed them in the chapel after Sunday service, spoken from the black wood of the pulpit. "Time for a change, ladies and gentlemen. We are entering the age of opportunity." A week later, the tiles arrived, and a speaker was installed in the refectory, playing the same three waltzes again and again, until the new man, the one with the military blazer and the scarred face, took a chair to it. The door of the office was open. In the armchair, a figure in a white coat gently snoring. Ian, on nights this week. On the filing cabinet, the wireless, lost between stations, hissed like escaping gas, then suddenly spoke, posing a question in a language he did not know. Next to the wireless was an empty Bass bottle and a packet of filterless Woodbines. He leaned in and helped himself to one of the remaining cigarettes, tucked it away in the pocket of the cardigan. The office clock said 10 to 5. Past the office and you come to one of the back wards. Each ward had a name, and this was Farmer. 20 beds on one side, 20 the other. Along the length of the room, nightlights dropped their glow like molten wax. He walked the central aisle, observing the sleeping heads and the few that watched him back. There was no babbling now, no whining. Of all the hours of day or night, this was the barest. Nobody came or went on the road outside. Inside, even the most restless had finally exhausted themselves. It would be another 2 hours before the shift changed. He came to his own bed, his name, Martin Lee, written above the hook where his other jacket was hanging. Further down on the same side, he stopped at the iron foot of Stephen Story's bed. The sheets were pulled up and a pillow had been placed beneath them, the faint, fake outline of a sleeper. Good enough, perhaps, to fool someone glancing in from the doorway. Was this what had woken him? Stephen? He was the baby of the ward,